Hello, 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 Gospel for Grampians, and hello, welcome to Yellow on Air. It is yet another beautiful Sunday and a Thursday, top of the morning and top of the evening, and I know you're listening to us from all over the world. Some of you are in Chile, some of you are in Peru, some of you are in the United Kingdom, some of you are in South Africa. Wherever you are, I'd like to say Messiah greetings to you on this beautiful, wonderful show that we have today. Welcome to Yellow on Air, Gospel for Grampians. We welcome you. Today, I'm not alone. I'm accompanied by two beautiful women. We have Annalyn Buerta and also Serge Phillips. I would like for them to introduce themselves before I can come and introduce you. And you know what I like about this dynamite that we have? It's similar to what we have last week. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is my other name, which is Trinity. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all three of us today have a wonderful topic called growing in God as youth, and we are going to learn about that today in a more fun, in a more enjoyable way, according to how God would love us to do it. So let me start with Annalyn. Annalyn, introduce yourself to our Gospel for Grampians, top of the morning, just with great excitement. Introduce yourself, tell them who you are and why is it that we are here today.
Hey, awesome listeners. It's actually so exciting being here, and I can't wait to speak on the topic we have today, and I'm super excited. I am actually a youth pastor in our local churches in Greenstone, and I absolutely love the youth. I am not too far from my youth days, but it's just amazing, not just serving the youth, but seeing as they grow and seeing the potential they have. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Like the reason I'm here is to see youth's lives being changed and impacted. So yeah, that's me.
You know what? I remember when Steve Harvey came into South Africa, and then, you know, that game show he has. What's the name of that game show again? Family Feud. And there was a question, and they said, so what is it that you would find at a wedding, you would not find at the wedding? And someone said, pasta. And he says, no, not like pasta is food.
Oh, yes.
So, anyhow, you know, this term pasta has different terminologies in different countries. Our accents and how we pronounce certain words is just so funny, I must say. And he was so baffled when he found out that no, a pasta
like macaroni, like spaghetti, the pasta.
Exactly. Yes, and we also have Serge Phillips. Serge, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and exactly what are we doing in this beautiful evening.
Day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I'm so excited to be here in fellowship with you. I'd like to say that my best friend is the Holy Spirit. He's just amazing. And that is what we will be talking about today. We will be talking about the importance of praying in the Spirit, because when we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is aligned to God's Spirit. So enjoy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Amazing stuff. So today we have an amazing topic that says growing in God as youth. This is something that I think and I believe and I know for a fact that we normally, particularly as youth, we do it, but we don't talk about it. Meaning that we think we have guidelines of what to do, but in actual fact, we don't know what to do. And this is why we're here, and this is why you're listening to us, top of the morning, top of the evening, in your beautiful country. So now, how do we grow as youth? This is a question that we always ask ourselves. What is it as a youth person that you can do to grow in God? When you have other things outside, commitments, you know, the lifestyle changes and the fame and fortune that other people are acquiring, and you wonder, if I grow in God, will I leave all those things? That's the question that we normally ask ourselves. But today, I'm so excited with these beautiful ladies to discuss this topic. And one of the questions that we always ask ourselves is that, how does one grow as youth? We have identified four key areas that you as a youth member can be able to dip into it and be able to understand it and be able to meditate upon it and help yourself to grow in God. And the first one is, why is it that you need to read the Bible? Why is it that you need to pray? Why do you need to worship? And what's the importance of Holy Communion? Let me repeat. Why is it that you need to read the Bible? Let me rephrase. Why do you need to read the Word of God? Why do you need to spend time with the Word of God? Secondly, why is it important for you to pray? Thirdly, what is the importance of praise and worship? And fourthly, what is the importance of Holy Communion? So we're going to tackle these four areas today. I believe there's more when it comes to growing in God as a youth person. And we have a youth pastor, not the macaroni with cheese and ham. No, not that type of a pastor. A real pastor. A youth pastor, someone who will give you the macaroni in the form of the Holy Spirit so that you can be nourished. Let's clap hands for Jesus. Yes. So we have someone who will discuss that. So now let's get into it before we can waste any more time. I believe that your ears are yearning to listen to what God has for us on this beautiful, beautiful evening. So let me start. Pastor Emily, why is reading the Bible important, and how do we read this Bible as youth? How do we make studying the Bible personal to us? Please take us through this wonderful journey.
Number one, I would just like to say thank you, Masego, for that intro. And I love the whole pasta thing. I love pasta, macaroni, all of it, anytime. But let's tackle the question of why is reading the Bible important, and how do you read your Bible, and how do you make it personal? Before I even tackle this question, any youth or young adult listening to this, the number one lie that immediately goes into your mind before you read the Bible is you feel intimidated. You feel like either you're not good enough, or you don't understand it well enough, or maybe you feel like you have too many questions that don't have answers. Please do not feel intimidated to just read your Bible. It is okay if you don't immediately understand it. It is okay if you don't let guilt take over and stop you from doing that. Because honestly, the Bible is still a type of love letter from our God to us. And we see in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, there is a few tips and tricks that I've learned over the years, not just in my studies, prepping to be a pastor, but also talking and asking awesome mentors at youth and at church how to read the Bible. And the number one thing I want you to remember is when you take the text out of context, you're left with a con. A lot of times when you read the Bible, we need to remember that it is written for us, but not to us. A lot of the Bible scriptures, the times it was written, the people it was written to, isn't written directly to us. It is written to a specific group of people. For examples, the book of Romans, Paul wrote the book of Romans for the churches of Romans. Or the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who were still bound to, they want to have the law and they want to be Jewish and Christian. And the letter literally explains to them how the Old Testament, the stories that they hold dear in their heart, is actually a type of Christ showing to Jesus. One of my favorite books is the book of Romans, because the book of Romans actually explains what we believe in. Even Romans 8. Romans 8 is a beautiful about Christian basics. And it talks about we are no longer under law, we are under grace. And it talks about sin isn't just doing wrong, but it's about once you were a slave to it, you were a slave to sin, but now you are free through Christ. And the book of Romans just explains what we believe as Christians. So even when we read the Bible, say the first try, even when you read the Old Testament, everyone thinks that you need to read the Bible like storybook. It's not a storybook. Bible in itself comes from the word biblio, which means different books, like a library. Like it's the book of Genesis, not the chapter of Genesis. So even when you read it, the Old Testament, it's full of stories, but you might not always understand it. Don't read Old Testament thinking, oh, I need to follow this teaching, because that's not what it is. But when we go to the New Testament, like the Gospels, we call them the Gospels. Those are the first four books in the Bible. They are literally, you'll see a lot of them has the same stories, but those are the disciples made an account of Jesus. And the reason there are different stories and some are the same is because each book is trying to point out something different of Jesus. But it's actually so funny because it is the New Testament is actually it's amazing when I think about it, but it is the most historically accurate document we have as humanity. But anyway, we're not going to go into that. So what I want to show you guys is the good books to start with, especially as a beginner reading the Bible, is like the book of John, like John 1 or John 2 or Romans 8. But that's where you start your foundations. And then when you want to read about more what Jesus did, that's where the Gospels come. And then teaching books. So Timothy and Titus, those are teaching books. Those are the Apostle Paul teaching his people he's raising up for the church. So a lot of the times, Titus and Timothy are addressing specifically to church leaders, but not always. You can still take something out and take it for yourself, but don't preach it out of context. Or don't try. And here's another thing. If you have questions, ask your people at church. Have the questions like, you say we're under grace, but this scripture says we're going to go to hell. What does this mean? Ask the questions and don't be afraid.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. While you are in it, while we are learning things that I don't even know myself, you know, there's a TikTok meme or TikTok video that would say, how old were you when you found out this? I was 31 years old when I found out that the word Bible means a book of many books. So now, let's say I'm just that person, right? Let's say I have never read the Bible before. Some way, somehow, you know how I always say this, your spirit cries out to God, then God comes and fetches it. And then he, within you, gives you restoration and salvation. That's why people have this called, they call it a spiritual awakening. So say I'm in this spiritual awakening, and I have this book of many books, lazy to read, like many other youth that are probably listening to us today, which is why they're listening, because they are lazy to read, some of them. Now, where would we start when it comes to reading the Bible? I mean, it's a book of many books, and honestly, I have to study for that exam that I don't want to, and the name of that exam is accounting. So what do I do?
So can I give you a very unpastor answer? Sorry, you disappeared. I'm just like, I can only see myself.
Yes, give me the unpastor answer.
Google. So hear me out as I say this. When I started reading the Bible, I was an audio listener. I didn't start with reading my Bible. I listened to sermons. And then most of the scriptures I know off by heart is sermons that I've heard over and over and over. But the only way I started reading my Bible was Googling and saying, what scripture is about love and forgiveness? And I wouldn't read the scripture on Google. I would Google it and then go to my Bible app. I'm like, what chapter is on grace? What chapter can I read? So I'm not saying go in Google, read it on Google, but use the equipment you have. Like there's a YouTube channel called Bible Project. And then what they do is they take stories from the Old Testament and they draw it in a cartoon. So if you need to have the context, like it's in Hebrews 12, a lot of the times what the writer did was they took Old Testament types and they said it actually pointed to Jesus. At youth, we always say Old Testament concealed and New Testament revealed. So in the Old Testament, there's always this promise of a Messiah. There are these random heroes, these moments. And when you see in the New Testament, they say that was actually pointing to Jesus. Jesus fulfilled more than, I think, plus minus 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. So when you struggle with that, there are people out there. And if there isn't, and you want to be the person who is creating those animations, amazing. But there are some YouTube channels, some people who've gone out of their way to make understanding the Bible better. So if Joseph is a picture of Jesus, you can literally go on Bible Project and they don't put any doctrine. All they're doing is writing the story out for you in a cartoon way. So, and then eventually it takes it honestly, last tip for reading the Bible, have grace with yourself. If you have never read a book that has 100 pages, or maybe you've never read a book that has 10 pages, how are you going to start reading the whole Bible in one night? This is a massive book. And honestly, one scripture can carry you through difficult times for a long time. I do encourage you to read your Bible. It's an amazing thing. And the more you start to hear about Jesus, the more you start to fall in love with his words. There's a time in your life where these words on these pages are no longer words on pages, but they become alive. But it does sometimes take a while. Scriptures like Proverbs is in the Old Testament, but my scripture I carry with me is Proverbs 3 verse 5 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. every single time I go through something, that scripture is memorized. Not because I was disciplined enough to say, this is the scripture I memorized, but because that scripture touched my heart. And that is the one scripture I keep going to. Before that scripture, it was the one that says, the one about good plans I have for you. But it's having grace for yourself and not trying to be a theologian and you now have to know all the doctrine, because even the translations have different purposes. I'm going to compare two translations and then I'll be done. So you have the NLT and the NKJV. So the NLT is the New Living Translation. It is easier to understand to our ear. But the NKJV is actually, I'm trying to remember the words. I had this in my studies, but the NKJV is meant to translate the meaning of a word, or the word itself, to accurately translate the word. So sometimes it's hard to read, but the New Living Translation is trying to take the meaning and translate it to the NLT. So I'm not saying any translation is superior to another. That's why you have people who have studied the Greek and who have studied the Hebrew. And that's why we listen to their sermons, because they were called for that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you not being the person who goes to the original Greek or the original Hebrew. God raised people up for that. I mean, if I'm called to be someone who try and figure everything out when I know God has called someone else already who studied the Greek and listen from their word? And you can have discernment. There is other people out there that don't preach the gospel or have a bit of heresy. But honestly, you've got the Holy Spirit. And so she's going to talk to us about that. But you have the Holy Spirit. Go back to the Holy Spirit. And honestly, last thing, I promise, is the last thing. The scripture I said about scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. A lot of the times the scriptures and your mentors and your people aren't always going to tell you things you like, because they care. God as Father is a balance between affirmation and correction, not condemnation, because we and the devil do a very good job about that. But he does affirmation. You are my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son. And he does correction, because he doesn't want to see you get hurt. So your only challenge with hearing if this is the gospel or not is talking to the Holy Spirit and being okay with, okay, is this the Holy Spirit or is this actually correcting me? So there is a balance of it. Sorry, I think I'm done now, but I will say reading your Bible is important, but have patience with yourself. Have patience. And as a student, you are forced to read a bunch of stuff that you might not be interested in for education's sake, and to fall in love with God's word, it takes time. And yeah.
Then you hear the Gen Z that I teach, they're like, ma'am, my brain is like a pea-sized. I can only consume that much information, ma'am. It's a lot. I had to read 20,000 pages and now. So while you were speaking and you mentioned the word grace, I think most of us, we cannot have grace for ourselves. We don't have capacity to even speak kind words to ourselves. Most people struggle with that. I mean, you said it yourself that when it comes to condemnation, us and the devil are doing a very good job at it. More us, actually. We are very quick to condemn ourselves when something happens. And when we don't read the Bible, we think that, I'm not a child of God. And the more you condemn yourself is the more you don't do what is right. The more you don't see righteousness. And then I Googled. I'm like, because you said Google, right? I went to Google. Google Mr. and Mrs. Know-It-All. And I'm like, Google, how long does it take for one to obtain, or rather for one to start a new habit? Then Google said, according to the scientists inside Google, I don't know where they are. These scientists say it can take anywhere from 18 to 254 days for a person to adopt a new habit. So meaning that if you haven't started Gospel for Grampians, if you haven't started reading the Bible and you want to start reading the Bible today, what you can do is that you need to start just one scripture, one verse, something must happen. The car must move. By the time you hit the 18th day mark, you already acquired a habit that you no longer force yourself to read the Bible. Now your body and your mind is conditioned to reading the Bible. Now there's a reason why we have to read the Bible, right? There's an important reason why. And Aline said, reading the Bible is like reading a love letter. The Bible is like a love letter, or God's love letter to us. So for you to pray, you must understand what this love letter have to say, which is why we're going to our second point, which is praying, the importance of praying and also praying in tongues. Serge, let's dig deep into this. We've already heard about the love letter. We've already heard about reading the Bible. We've already heard about the scriptures that are important and something that I haven't known. I'm sure I'm going to dream about it, a book of many books. So tell us more about praying, particularly praying in tongues.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Maseko. Annalene, I must say that I really thoroughly enjoyed listening to why it's important to read the Bible. Thank you so much for that. So, yes, why is praying in the Spirit important? I mean, why should we pray in the Spirit? Okay, so let's just start off by saying or talking about what praying in the Spirit is. So praying in the Spirit, or some may call it in tongues or your heavenly language. So praying in tongues is basically a gift from God, and it allows us to pray the will of God by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in tongues, we are yielding to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And then you are also allowing that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to pray through you so that you are in tune with Holy Spirit. When we have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, what does that mean? It just means that my spirit prays, right? But my mind is unproductive. It may not recognize what I'm saying. So we are a spirit being. I'm going to take it back. We are a spirit being. Okay. I've mentioned before, we possess a soul, which is will, mind, and emotion. And we live in a body. Now, the spirit of man is praying in tongues. And the mind is not involved when we pray in our heavenly language. Okay? Therefore, we cannot pray in tongues in our mind. We have to open our mouths and allow the words to flow. So, I quickly want to share with you a story. It was a couple of months back, and I just literally left my house. So I left the driveway, you know, going about my day, and I entered the road, like literally just got off my driveway, entered the road, like the main road, and I think it was about a few seconds. Probably about 10 seconds later, I feel this bump behind me. And I was so shocked. I was like, what is this? When I looked at my rearview mirror, I saw that it was a truck. Now, this person just decided, for whatever reason, probably because, you know, it was like early morning traffic, this and that, they decided to overtake me. But guess what? It wasn't just the truck. It wasn't just the H100 Bucky, rather. It was an H100 Bucky with gas. Like a Bucky that's carrying full gas. Like gas tanks. So yeah, the gas tanks are full. I just want to say I give God all the praise, glory, and honor, because it was only because I prayed, I've been praying in the Spirit, that has actually protected me and my kids that day. I mean, there were so many things that could have happened. That H100 Bucky carried many gas bottles, which were full, and we were in traffic. I could have bumped other cars, which were very, very close to me. I'm still trying to understand how everything happened and how everything played out. Because if I did knock somebody else, there would have been a force there would be like a force, you know, that would have hit each other. And yeah, like they could have been an explosion, basically. Like they could have been an explosion. But by the grace of God, because of praying in the spirit on a daily basis, having a habit, talking about habits, I got into the habit of praying in the spirit every day, at least minimum 20 to 30 minutes a day. And I believe that in the spiritual realm, something amazing happened because I prayed in the spirit every single day that God's heavenly angels protected me, protected my kids, and protected the people around us to avoid us, avoid the accident being worse than it were, what it was. Because I really, with everything that happened, there would have been an explosion. So all praise to God for His grace and His mercy over our lives. I'm so thankful that, you know, I got to learn to get into this habit of praying in the spirit. I thank Prophet Beatrice and Prophet Kajol from Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, because they've been part of my life and they've encouraged me to pray in the spirit every single day.
Amen.
At least 20 minutes. And that has really got me to where I am today, with
Sesh,
the grace of God, of course.
Sesh, there's this picture I have in my head. So the H1 hit the gas, a truck with gas, and there would have been a major explosion. I can already see yourself like Daniel thrown in the fire. What? Right. And guess what? In the background, playing, you would think angels would be singing, mm-mm. Like while you're walking, exiting the fire with your kids. People would think they'd be like, oh, no. That music.
Wow. That's amazing, because you know what, Maseko, my daughter's name is Danielle, comes from the name Danielle.
You so... see? You see? Manifestation!
Yes, yes, definitely.
You know,
yeah.
There's when it comes to prayer, this is what my spiritual father taught me. To be honest, everything we learn comes from somewhere. So Gospel for Grampians, when you hear us referring to our spiritual fathers or people that taught us something, it's because everything we have learned comes from somewhere. God will bring someone into your life to teach you something. The same way, tomorrow you'll be referring to what you are listening to right now, telling somebody else because of that's what you have learned. So this is
Absolutely.
What he taught me. He says that prayer is like a deposit box. Every time when you pray, you deposit. You deposit, you deposit, you deposit, you deposit, you deposit, you deposit. Then there are days and times where you cannot pray because life will show you those flames that Daniel was walking in. It will show you those flames. And when life shows you those flames, there's no prayer inside of you. You can't utter specific words to God. You can't say, Lord, that boyfriend dumped me. We're supposed to go on the altar. Lord, I couldn't get that job. You know, there's certain things that will hurt you deep down in your heart that you won't be able to pray.
Yes.
That's when what you've been depositing comes out, and it comes and it rescues you. The second thing I learned about prayer as well is that when you pray, I always refer to first to Genesis 1, when God created the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be, let there be, let there be. He spoke. So because of the word of God is active and it's alive, when it went out, it worked and it created the things that it needed to create. Similarly to us, when we pray, we charge our angels to do the work of God. Every time before I leave the house, when I drive and I go anywhere, I would say, Father, I pray that you protect me. I know God's angels will be on my car tires. They'll be on my windscreen. And even that loud music I play when I go to work, I know for a fact, I pray with conviction that God 100% will protect me. Even the angels that he has allocated to be with me throughout my life will protect me at that moment. So, wow.
Amen. Beautiful. Yes. Thank you so much, Museko. That was powerful, absolutely powerful. So, yeah, that was my story. Now, moving along, let's have a look at why it is important for us to pray in the Spirit. I've just got a few points. Firstly, is it's important for us to pray in the Spirit because it allows God to arrange protection and deliverance from all harm for us and our families. Okay, as I've explained with my testimony and as Maseka has also mentioned. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Now, just by the by, perilous times mean exposure to danger. Okay, now keeping that in mind, when we have a look at Psalms chapter 50, verse 15, it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and he will deliver us." God tells us to pray because he wants to help us. Now, God is not going to tell us to pray so he can help us and not keep to his word, because God is a God of his word. He never lies. His word is yes and amen. It is the same yesterday and today and forever. So, just want to encourage you, pray in the Spirit, because God wants to help us. Okay, that's one. Number two, when you pray in tongues, you are charged up with God's power. Yes, with God's power, not our power, but God's power. So who needs to be charged up? My word, I know that I need to be charged up like every single day because I've got two kids. So I need to be charged up. So therefore, I pray in the Spirit. When we have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, the word edify means to build and to strengthen yourself. Jude chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So you see, we have to build ourselves up through praying in the Spirit. We need to do the building of the self up. We need to do it, and we need to do it by praying in tongues. Now, I want to encourage you. You know, I'm reminded by the scripture where it says, man will fail us, but God will never, ever fail us. And in life, we may come from different backgrounds and things like that, and we may have different challenges that we are dealing with. And we may not know how to deal and handle certain situations in our life. But I want to encourage you today that we may think we have people there with us to support us and encourage us, you know, like friends and family. But sometimes when we really need that encouragement, we may not necessarily find it. So that is why it's important for us to depend on God and pray in the Spirit and say, "Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you." And the moment you get into that habit of depending on God and God alone in every area of your life, you start praying in tongues, God will strengthen you. He will help you in everything that you need to do. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, this scripture is saying that Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man. So we're not depending, again, we are not depending on our own ability, but we are depending on the ability through Christ Jesus in us. And his Holy Spirit gives us the strength. When we pray more in the Spirit, our spirit is charged up. Just like when you have your cell phone or your laptop. Your laptop and cell phone is not going to be last in, you know, charged up the entire day. Throughout the day, when you use it, different apps, you know, different calls, whatever you're doing on your laptop or phones, it's not going to be last in. You need to recharge. Now, like you need to recharge your devices on a daily basis, it's important for our spirit man to also be charged up on a daily basis.
Yes, Sash, you know, you're right. We need to be charged up for everything, every challenge, whatever it is. Even a celebration, you need to be charged up for it. But I believe that prayer accompanied with worship will also help you be charged up. I'd like to hand over to Annalene to just touch a little bit of worship, the power of worship. Why is it that we need to praise and worship God? And we'll dig deep into prayer, worship, and Holy Communion. And this fruit salad is going to come out nice and put yogurt on top, one way or the other.
Funny, we actually had a month, our series at Youth the past month has been praise and worship. It's beautiful because worship isn't, in a way, it's not at all about you. When you worship, it's about looking to God. It's about, yes, coming as you are, broken or in need, but then going to a God that has the ultimate supply. And honestly, when I say worship is, yes, songs work as well, but purely worshiping in spirit and His truth is looking to God, looking to Him in every aspect of your life, because we tend to, number one, have a habit of trying to be a fix-it Felix from the movie Wreck-It Ralph that fix everything and do everything ourselves and try to find resources in different places or even in different people. And what ends up happening when we do that, we go not on thrive mode, but we go on survive mode. And all we're doing is you actually get to a place where you don't see people, you see what can they get me. And it's not talking down or condemning anyone, but that's what happens to us. That's what happens to me when I'm not okay, when I feel like the world is getting darker and there's no space or resource. But the moment you worship, you shift your focus to not just a resource, but the source. And God is there with open hands. He wants to provide for us. He wants to give us our needs. He's not a God who's like, I don't want to be involved. So then what worship does is worship turns your focus from your problems to the solution, to God. And in a lot of times, worship moments, you're actually allowing God to love on you, to heal some wounds. Some people cry during worship. Other people get still. Other people, honestly, it's a new thing. It's a new thing to allow God to actually uproot those lies and those pains. But the moment you do, no one can take that away from you. And I think that's me on worship.
Thank you very much. It just reminded me of a song that I'm actually looking for. It's by
Is it The Blessing? Sorry, The Blessing is stuck in my mind. The Lord bless you.
There's a song by Philip Thompson. It's about my worship. And it says, "For I will not be silent. I will worship you. As long as I'm breathing, I will worship you." But there's a part that says, "You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you for me." In other words, you cannot worship, no one can worship God on your behalf. You have to worship God for yourself. You need to appreciate and love God for yourself. And as I was busy researching about the importance of worship, just to explain it so that our youth today can understand the context behind why is it that is it important for us to worship, it took me back to Revelation 7 and Revelation 5. So Revelation 7, I don't want to read it in the Message version. I love the Message version. It sounds like a horror thriller movie, ding, 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 ding. Like, and it puts things as blunt as it is, and it comes back and puts it in a fun way, and you're like, what am I reading? But it's a nice and interesting version. It says, I think it's actually Revelations 5 from 11 to 12. It says, "Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in the mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings.'" So the angels continuously worship God in heaven. You know, worship is a sign of humility. Worship is a sign of love. You know, the love language that we talk about these days, I don't know who came up with them, But you know the love languages that we talk about? God has his own love languages as well. Prayer, worship, spending time with him, meditation, all those things, these are the love languages to God. And you fellowship with him, you become more intimate with him. We spoke about reading the word. We spoke about how to read the word. We spoke about why we need to read the word. We came back and we spoke about prayer. Why is it that we need to pray? Then we're coming back now, we're speaking about worship. Sersh, do you have anything to say about worship?
Yes, thank you, Maseko. Thank you. So with worship, worship is so powerful. Worship is absolutely amazing and powerful. You know, when we worship God with our praise, with our worship, when we lift our hands up to him, when we say, open our mouth and sing praises to him, our praises and our worship that goes up is like sweet aroma to God. It's of sweet aroma to God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth, thinks that when we open our mouth and praise and worship him, it is of sweet aroma to him. And I think that is so amazing. We are so privileged to have the opportunity to go before the King of Kings and worship him. The second thing is worship and praise is so important. It's powerful because I'm reminded of the story in the Bible where Joshua pulled down the walls of Jericho. And that happened because of worship. And this happened where, you know, there's even more power when we come together as a family of God and praise and worship. There is so much power there because that's exactly how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Thank you so much, Maseko.
And I can see the walls of doubt, of all Christianity is not fun. I'm youth, you know what? I got things to do. I cannot listen to you. I cannot pray. The walls today, it didn't even take 13 days. The walls today have been broken down. Today, yeah, we are going to come into the throne of God and pray more, read the Bible more, worship God more, love him more, enjoy him more. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? A life of the Holy Spirit is very enjoyable. It's nice. It is, yes, very nice. You understand yourself better. There's nothing worse than living your life not knowing or understanding who you are. And because our identity is in Christ, for us to understand ourselves, we must be in Christ. Which takes us to Holy Communion. Why is it that we need to take Holy Communion? I have a lot of people that do not understand why is it that we need to speak to God and we also the need to have Holy Communion. There are many scriptures that we can speak about. There's this one particular one that my spiritual father speaks about in most cases. And he says, he who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. This is John 6 verse 54. If you eat the body and you drink the blood of Jesus Christ, one thing that my spiritual father taught me is that the problem is not the Holy Communion, is what you see when you eat it. Remember, Jesus Christ was on the cross. He was crucified for our sins. The moment when you drink the blood and you remember when he asked for water and you remember when they pierced him on the side, water and blood came out. There was immense pain. And that blood, when it came out, it says, Maseho, this is for you. When you drink Holy Communion and you remember that this is the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may find salvation, that we may be reconciled with God, then you're taking Holy Communion in the right manner. Similarly to the body, he says, this body was broken for me. When Jesus Christ was lashed on this back, and as he was being lashed, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father God, thank you, Holy Spirit, as he was being lashed on the back, the book was opened. The very same bread that the devil asked him to turn the stones into, he became that bread. Had he not known that he is the bread of life, he would have turned those stones into bread. But that was not the time, that was not the moment, and definitely not for the devil. But he knew who he was, and he knew that he is the Father. Him and the Father are one. So there was no need for him to impress the devil in Matthew 4, but instead he took his identity. So when you eat the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you take the bread and you break it and you eat it, remember that his body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me, the blood of the Lamb. Is taking it in the right manner, which is why I do not limit Holy Communion to whatever that we eat in church, even everything that I eat, whatever I cook in the house, every water that I drink, this is the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, as often as you remember in Corinthians, as often as you remember, take the body, take the blood, as often as you remember. I remember it as often when I cook my ribs and I eat them, when I drink my juice, when I drink my water, when I drink my coffee, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whether I'm at home. Every time, as often as I remember, I partake in the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Serge, please lead us into a prayer for our listeners. Gospel for Grampians. Serge has a prayer for us. The Holy Spirit dropped something into us today, and I believe that you're enjoying yourself today. Let us pray. Serge, over to you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Maseko. I want to remind you, listeners, that in John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." If you ask Jesus to help you to pray in tongues and in anything else that you want to do, he will help you and he will answer your prayers. So if you desire to speak in tongues, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer in agreement with me, please. Dear Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, baptize me into your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, as I start to pray in my heavenly prayer language, Holy Spirit, I thank you that no tragedy will come my way without you warning me first. When I sense the need to pray, I will immediately yield to you, Holy Spirit, because I understand you will either be protecting me when I sense the urge to pray from danger, or you could be bringing me into a perfect blessing, bringing to pass God's plan for my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for arranging people, places, and things in my future ahead of time for my arrival, so that I will be helped through difficult times and will fulfill the dreams that you have put in my heart, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, begin to open your mouth and release the words that come out of your mouth. Remember that you are not praying from your mind, but you are praying from your heart, from your spirit. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Amen. And I will, this is a song that it's definitely in my spirit. I will not be silent. This is Philip Thompson. Here's my worship. Please go and listen to it. Google it. Look for it and worship God. Here's my worship. All of my worship. But you know what? This, I don't have to sing the whole sentence or even the whole show today, Gospel for Grampians, because we do have Sammy who's going to bless us with a musical item later on. So thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much for engaging with us. Youth, that this generation, the future is yours. The future is even more yours when you lead it in God. Right now, it's time for you to equip yourself. It is time for you to know yourself, to understand yourself, your spiritual well-being, your spirituality as a person, as a youth. It's time for you to know who you are. Yes, as youth, you do have to follow your hobbies. Do things that you enjoy, but enjoy them in Christ and not outside Christ. Because if you enjoy them outside Christ, it means you're enjoying them in the world. Then they are not to worship God. So thank you for listening, Gospel for Grampians. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for engaging. We do hope that you enjoyed this, but moreover, we do hope that your life is changed. We do hope that today you are now a child of God. If you didn't believe it then, you believe it today. And we do hope that you will read the Bible. You will pray in the Spirit. You will worship God. And don't forget to partake in the Holy Communion. It's very important for you to partake in the Holy Communion as often as you remember. You remember the sacrifice that God did for us by sacrificing his only son, that we may remember who he is. Thank you so much for listening, Gospel for Grampians. I am Masego Malapile. I'm known by the name Coach MTJ. But before I can introduce myself and tell you exactly what is it that I do, Serge, do you have any parting words for today, for our listeners, Gospel for Grampians, top of the morning, top of the evening? Do you have any parting words?
I would just like to say it's been such a privilege to spend this time in fellowship with you all. And I trust and hope and I pray for you all that you will be able to hear the voice of God clearly, and God will give you the strength to be able to read your Bible more, pray in the Spirit, praise and worship him, as well as take communion. So thank you so much, beautiful listeners. Thank you, Maseko.
Thank you very much. Yes, as I was saying, I am Coach Masego Malapile, and I'm a confidence and a public speaking coach. My job is to ensure that, or help you to speak confidently at every conference, at every presentation, even in your life, so that you yourself can become the aspiring leader that you want to become. I use everything that God has taught me in my journey or 18 years of experience in public speaking, and I use it to teach you, to train you to become an exceptional, eloquent speaker. It's important for you to learn how to communicate as a person. It's important for you to learn how to communicate to people so that anyone that listens to you can understand, so that it does not become as a scripture that does not edify you, but it becomes a scripture that edifies you when you speak in a language that people will understand it. We focus on delivery. We focus on what you say. We focus on how you say it, so that your audience can be captured and your audience can be engaged. If you like to acquire out these services, you can contact me on +27 for South Africa, 64-817-6806. You can send me a WhatsApp, you can send me a message, you can call me whichever way, and these services are provided in person and also online. But because we're in different countries, obviously, then you can contact me, then we can render these services to you or coach you on an online platform. Let me repeat, my number is +27 64 817 6806. If you need more information, you can email info@ojagiaconsulting.com. It's info@ojagia.com. Thank you so much for listening. And now we have our beautiful Sammy, who is going to grace us with her presence and give us the musical sound and the musical tune with her angelic voice. We spoke about worship. We spoke about the importance of worship. And now we're going to experience it as we're listening to Sammy. Sash, are you ready to for Sammy?
Yes, of course. I'm fired up.
You know, I thought I had a voice, right? And I'm like, you know, we worship in different ways. If you're supposed to worship through dance, worship through dance. Yes. Don't try and sing. You will sound like not even a lamb being slain, a goat that's being slain. Then you are scaring people. Like, even the devil, even the demons that are tormenting a person will be like, yeah, who's this? You know? So if you know what your talent is, stick to it. Mm-mm. Don't test the Holy Spirit. Stick to the talent that God has given you. So yes, Gospel for Grampians, top of the morning. We are now going to listen to Sammy, who has a beautiful song for us, who would like to share it with us so that we can be fulfilled in the Spirit. Do not forget, God loves you. God will always love you. This is Yellow on Air. Thank you for tuning in.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with a baby in the back seat. 15 miles to go, she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw all the light flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. 'Cause I can do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance and save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. It was still getting colder when she made it to the shoulder. When the car came to a stop, she cried when she saw that baby in the backseat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hand, 'cause I can do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance and save me from this road. From me,
oh. Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's Angelina from Women of Africa Care on Air. It is a privilege and honor for us to come every week on the air on a Sunday at 10 a.m. and repeating it at 10 p.m. on a Monday for just you youth. We love you and we are honored to be able to inspire you through the Word of God. So tune in every Sundays or alternatively Monday at 10 p.m. on Gospel for Grampian Radio Station as Masecho, our program director, and our youth team bring you inspiration from heaven and how to be a better youth, a better version of yourself. God designed you in His image and likeness, and our beautiful air crew wants to help you be that original design. We love you.